I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always some fascinating topics, and I, you know, some of it's really inside baseball, and we try to put it in a non-computer language for everyone to understand, including me, because I'm as dumb as it gets when it comes to technology. So if he can dumb it down for me, maybe it's enough for you. I don't know. But Eric joins us, of course. Computer Talk with Tab is every Saturday, 9 to 11, here on WTIC. Eric, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good. How are you?
Good. I actually want to start with AI. I mean, one of the, you know, you send me a slew of stories, so sort of like a buffet, if you will, and I can choose you know, what to eat first and so on. And I appreciate that. But there's this story about the Microsoft's artificial intelligence boss believing that, you know, once something's published on the web, it's fair game for AI. And the question I wanted to ask you is that AI really is only as good as the information it can access, right? And say, the big question now is, I know there's been some deals struck, but is everything out there fair game? Are these companies going to have to compensate people for the content they use in their AI? Because if they do that, it's a non-starter.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, the boss, the AI boss there thinks anything you put on the internet is fair game and it's freeware. They can go out and scrape it and take it if you haven't expressly said they can't. Most of us realize that's incorrect, but it should scare you when it comes to Microsoft and their main AI person thinking that that's the case. But you're right also in that AI is only as smart as the information that it scrapes. So that's why you get information like, how do you keep cheese from sliding off a pizza? Well, you put glue on the pizza. That's what AI tells you. So we have a long way to go before we quote unquote train AI. But the issue is really when you are signing up for any services, when you're putting your stuff in the cloud, when you're posting it on the web, there's going to be a lot of interest in grabbing that information and how private is it. So I think the New York Times is also suing ChatGPT for the same idea here. They're scraping their stories and New York Times wants to get paid.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, I mean, I wonder if they'll end up at the courts or what have you, because yeah. It's hard to just, you know, I've written stuff over the years that's not that well consumed, but, you know, it's out there. I mean, you just wonder what it does right to the mom and pop content producer as well. We're talking with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk is going to be this Saturday, but not the Saturday after, is that correct?
I have a couple Saturdays off, thanks to a vacation.
Okay. So,
it'll be on here. There's a best of always running.
Gotcha, but there'll be no call-ins. You know, this right. Was one of your stories about stolen Wi-Fi on a flight.
Was yeah, that one of your it's stories? Called the Evil Twin.
Yeah, I want to ask a question because basically, like for me, if I'm on a flight, I want Wi-Fi, and I can see people like if they know it's not like the person next to them type thing. Clicking on something that looks official that gives them Wi-Fi because you desperately want it, right? So my question to you is, you can tell the story about it, but also, does it lead to real damage for somebody if they fall into that trap?
It really does. So Evil Twin, basically the bad guys set up a Wi-Fi hotspot. And let's say you're on a Southwest flight, they're going to be sitting in the seat and they're going to broadcast the Southwest SSID, because you can do that anytime you want. It's an evil twin. And then when people try to connect to it, they're going to ask for credentials. And they'll steal your email credentials. They'll steal your accounts credentials to your social media. And this can happen not only in flights, but in the airport itself. That's why it's always important to use a VPN, because even if you happen to be on an evil twin Wi-Fi, at least it's encrypted.
What's a VPN?
Basically, a VPN is a virtual private network so that when you do connect to an internet source like a wireless access point, your data is encrypted point to point so that the person who's giving you the evil twin access can't see what you're doing The evil twins are always looking for your information, always looking to scrape your credentials. So these can be set up in businesses as well. So let's say you have an accounting firm, and right next door somebody rents the office, sets up an evil twin for, you know, Smith and Jones accounting Wi-Fi. They just set up their own, and now the accountants think they're connecting to their own Wi-Fi, and they're not. Evil twin is a very easy thing to set up for the bad guys, and this is a story from the Australia police talking about a guy doing it literally on the plane. So, yeah, you got to be always vigilant.
It's crazy. We're talking with Eric Semmel from Tab Computers here in Bryan & Company. The story, there's a couple I want to talk about, but there's a story that some of the information from out of Indonesia or their own information, they don't back it up. And ultimately, people listening at home don't care about that. But the question is, like, are all of our official sort of things, like, is it SOP to be, have all of our stuff backed up in our, with our government and everything else?
You would think so, Brian. So the story is so funny in that, you know, the Indonesian government didn't realize they had no backup for their national data systems. It was only listed as an option. And it's breathtaking. However, we've had stories on Computer Talk over the years where the state of Connecticut has their auditors audit the DMV. And every time the auditors found that the DMV had no disaster recovery at all, year after year after year after year in that 40-year-old system. And then, of course, they put the new system in, and the auditors found the same thing, no disaster recovery. So the point of this story is really to say, look, guys like me know how the sausage is made, and this is so common that you just can't assume anything is set up correctly. Just assume it's not. If you just assume it's set up incorrectly by default, you'll have a better understanding of what we're dealing with when it comes to technology. And this is just another breathtaking example of government working real hard for the Indonesian people.
Well, I mean, is it because of cost?
It's really stupidity. How do you set up any kind of system and not protect it with a backup? It's the cost to not be able to recover it is massively more expensive than simply setting up a backup. So it's just massive incompetence in this case. But again, in the case of our own DMV, the auditors told them it wasn't configured or wasn't backed up and didn't have a disaster recovery, and they were okay with it. So the other aspect is, do governments really function properly? If that is simply how they operate for something as simple as a DMV, I guess nobody cares if the DMV is down. I don't care if they're down. I guess that's what they're thinking. Nobody cares if the DMV is down. But if there's more important aspects of government that you would care is down, assume this, similarly, the same folks are in charge. That's where we need to improve things. I mean, we talk about potholes being an issue. This is a bigger problem. And as we move faster and faster to depend on technology, we're going to find ourselves unable to do a whole lot of stuff when it gets compromised.
You know, you talked about this hack of some state university and state agencies in Texas. And the question, and I always try to, you know, bring this back to our audience. It seems like Microsoft's being blamed. So was all of it through Microsoft? Were they the problem?
Well, so it's not that they're the problem. It's just that these systems that we think are secure, you put in your password and you have your two-factor authentication. This is a Russian hack that happened with a lot of our federal government accounts through Microsoft 365. This is also now Microsoft is warning folks in Texas that, you know, the Texas Department of Transportation, the Texas Workforce Commission, yada, yada, the Department of Motor Vehicles in Texas, all those accounts are compromised. The issue is it's pretty simple to compromise the account. You literally send an email and ask for the credentials, and people put it in. They get tricked into entering their credentials and literally also clicking on the second factor to let the bad guys in. So it's not just Microsoft's fault. It's just there's a problem with how we secure these accounts. I'm not saying I have the answer. I wish I did. I'd be a bazillionaire. But basically, stop giving your passwords is where the key is here. And the problem is these phishing schemes are so simple and easy to execute that people just, especially around right now, it's a holiday coming up. Everyone's guard is down. Everyone's thinking about the 4th of July. And you're going to start simply putting in your passwords because people are asking for them. And that's what happened in this case.
Got it. Eric, good stuff. We'll be listening on Saturday, and if I don't, obviously I'll talk to you after the holiday. I hope. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too, Brian. Thanks.
All right, Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab, Saturday is 9 to 11 right here on WTSE.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.